Please to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Had a good time of worship and a good time to express our feelings to the Lord. And that is good. You know, God wants to hear you, to wants you to express your love and emotion and feelings unto the Lord. And likewise, He will express His love unto you. Praise His wonderful name. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says this: "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superior speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Come on, church. In the demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. That today is what the church should be. A demonstration of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Verse 5. The reason for that is that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Amen? Our faith is not on wisdom. Our faith is not in the wisdom of society today, into the politicians and to the scientists of today, but our faith is built on the Word of God and on the power of God that can change circumstances and situations right before your very eyes. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, we do speak wisdom among you to those who are mature. And wisdom, however, not of this age. In other words, wisdom that is not of this world. Amen. Nor of the rulers of this world, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the worlds to the glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye have not seen and ear have not heard, and that which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually judged. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For he has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And just into chapter 3, but I, brethren, could speak to you as a spiritual man. Sorry, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual man, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, now you are not even yet able, for ye are still fleshly, since there is jealousy and strife among you. You are not fleshly, you are not walking like mere, sorry, for you are still fleshly, since there is jealousy and strife among you. Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like men, like mere men? For the Apostle Paul says, one says, I am of Paul, one other says, I am Apollos. Are you not mere men? You know, Paul, when he comes to the church at Corinth, you have to remember this. There is only the Old Testament that has been written. The New Testament has not yet been written. You know, the New Testament was only written, it was written over a period of probably 30 to 40 years after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So the New Testament really is a portion of 40 years. Wow. But a lot of things happened in that 40 years. Massive changes. You know, for each and every one of us, what a privilege it is we have the New Testament. And today I've titled my sort of message to you today is to know Him. To be like Him. That's what we're to be. We're to know Him so that we can be like Him. Hallelujah. And Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians and chapter 2 and verse 2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Today, do you know Jesus? Today, have you asked the Lord Jesus into your heart and into your life? Praise His wonderful name. You know, in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 18, it talks about that the preaching of the gospel is like foolishness to those who are perishing. And today, that same statement has not changed. You tell people about Jesus, you share your testimony, you share what God has done in your life, and they look at you and they think, which rock did you crawl from underneath? Which planet did you fall off? You know, where have you been? Well, don't be fazed by it. Because you know the truth. And the truth has set us free. And you know, as we listen to the Word of God and as we listen to the Spirit of God, God will move us forward and guide us. And whether people believe us or not, as long as we share our testimony, we share the love of Jesus with truth and with power and authority and love, that is the greatest thing that we can do. And that is all that we can do. All we can do is be signposts to point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ, and young people and children. And Paul says in this scripture, he says, I didn't come with big words. Ken brought a big word, didn't he, to us today?
Yeah.
And we're all wondering, what's he on about?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came with simple words. He told stories. He told parables to use as a way of showing who God was and how much God loved people. Simple stories. And today we still have to operate in the same ways, to bring simple words to the simply so people can understand. You see, it's not words that save you. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that reaches into your heart and into your life. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings you to Jesus. My words are just a signpost. Your words are signposts to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are today pointing people to Jesus. Today, I had a message came through on my emails. It was on the church email, actually. And the message came through asking for information about the church. Asked as if we were a spirit-believing in Jesus, you know, what sort of church were we? Well, it's on the website if people look, but sometimes they just want to ask you the question, so you'll write back to them. And this person wrote back, this person gave me their phone number as well, so I wrote back on an email, and then I decided, I think, I'll make it a little bit more personal, and I messaged them on their phone number, and a few minutes later they messaged me back and said, thank you very much, I won't be here this Sunday, but I will be there next Sunday. They've been brought up in a church in the past, but I think I got the impression to some degree they may not be going anymore, but suddenly maybe they're turning back to faith. I don't know for sure, but they're looking for somewhere, and as we know, many, many churches are closed. Why? Let's trust Him. Let's trust Him whom to know is life eternal. You know, the Bible teaches that you come into this world with nothing. And when you leave this world, you're going to leave with nothing. And yet we spend most of our lives gathering things. And then we leave them all behind. Huh? Don't we? I know we have needs, I understand that, you know what I mean? But at the same time, do not let that be your major focus of gathering things. You know, there's some people, I had an aunt, we used to call her auntie, and she would gather things. She gathered newspapers and magazines. And she lived in a house, and if you wanted to go to the toilet upstairs, you literally had to carefully find a way through. Because on every stair was a pile of newspapers, was a pile of magazines, and on the settee and on the chairs. She was living on her own, I believe, then. In fact, no, she wasn't. No, she was married. And if you went to visit, they had to move piles of magazines and newspapers so you could actually sit. And she used to get asked, why are you keeping all of these? Well, I'm going to read them one day.
Yeah.
Really? Well, they're out of date. Why read old news? This is still in date for the Word of God. It still brings revelation today, for today, and tomorrow, and through to we get to the place of eternity in the presence of God. And then this then becomes obsolete, because this no longer is the Word, because we will then be living with the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is just our manual to get us into that place, to get us into that presence, to get us into that relationship with the Lord Jesus. And this is why the Bible has been written, that we might know Him. Hallelujah. And that we might become like Him. Hallelujah. Have a look at somebody next to you and say, let's become like Jesus. Let's become like Jesus. Hallelujah. That is your destiny.
Yeah.
That is your destiny. That is the purpose why Jesus came, that you might be like Him. like him, that in being like him, you can enter into the Father's presence and know the Father's love and know the Father's desires for you and his blessings over your life. And Paul is saying, I've not come with big words, I've not come with fancy talk. And yet Paul, he'd been educated in the finest schools. He could probably pour that out, these long words, and he could pour out these divine theological doctrines that would confound even the Pharisees of the Pharisees. It's no good if you're confounded. It's no good if you don't understand what is being said. It's gibberish. Isn't it? It's just gibberish. God the Father wants you to know him. God the Father wants you to hear him. Yeah. God the Father wants you to understand him. Yeah. I want you to understand me. Yeah. I know sometimes I might say some things and I see people and it's like suddenly that blank look comes across the forehead. You see that? You see, that's why this is no good to me. Is it, Steve? She says, well, I don't know why you're putting that up, it's a waste of time. So what do you mean? Huh? Well, it's awful to look through, actually, to be honest. But you see, I like to see your eyes. You see, in your eyes are like the television screens of your heart, of the spirit, you see. So I can look at you and think, you didn't get that, did you? You know, I can see that the channel's gone all fuzzy and blank and it's all, you know, do you remember TVs when they had all that? Yeah, the blank white ones. You don't remember them, can't you, Terry? Yeah, right. You sat there looking at it, and there's just nothing coming out, is there? It's just turn it off, and that's what you do. If you're not understanding me, after a while you just turn me off. But the thing is, you see, when I can look at people, I know if you've turned me off. And then I might just come round and poke you and wake you and shake you. Hallelujah, glory to God. Ha ha ha. Praise his wonderful name. So, you know, Paul is saying, I want you to hear by the Spirit. You see, we hear much by our natural ears. You know, the square monster in the rectangular now, aren't they? The rectangular monster in the corner of the room or on the wall, constantly negative. Negative, fear the TVs all the time. And yet when you read the word of God, it's God is blessing upon blessing upon blessing, protection upon protection, the care and the love of God. And it's a relationship. Walking around it. Praise the Lord. I am no longer in bondage. You know, I am set free in Christ Jesus. I no longer live in fear. As Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Hallelujah. So, if I'm going to die, I know where I'm going. Yeah. I'm going to gain something. I'm not losing, I'm gaining. Okay. Right? I am being sensible in everything that I do, but I am no longer going to live in fear. I am not, well, I haven't been living in fear. I'm not living in fear. I'm walking in faith. I'm trusting the living God, you see, because I know that God has called me for a plan and a purpose, and I know in my heart of hearts, I have not yet fulfilled that plan and that purpose that God has ordained for my life. Have you? Well, don't live in fear. Tell the devil to... whatever. Just trying to clear off. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. And I know I shall fulfill it. Hallelujah. Fear be gone. Be gone. Perfect love. Perfect love. God is love. He's casting out all fear. He's already done it. Yes. Now live in it.
Amen.
It's yours for the taking.
Yes.
The table has been spread. It says, He spreads before us a banqueting table, and His banner over us is
love.
It's not sickness. It's not disease. It's not torment. It's love. We've just gone off the message now. Glory to God. We'll get back to it somehow. God is love. And God wants you and I to walk in that love, to walk in the strength that love gives to us. In the power of the love of God. God has brought for us a sound mind. Not fear. Not fear. And so God has purchased through Christ Jesus that we might be of a sound mind. Hallelujah. We're not afraid. We're not people of fear, but we're people of faith.
Yes.
We're people of power.
Amen.
We're people who are moving in the anointing of the living God.
Amen.
And He said, well, I'm not at the moment. Well, guess what? God wants you to move. He wants you to begin to be moving in the anointing of the Spirit of God, so that when things come against you, you say, in the name of Jesus, I stand in my authority that Jesus Christ has given to me, and you will step no further. You cannot cross this line. Praise His wonderful name. Stand your ground. Stand your ground in Jesus Christ. Declare the works of God. And you know, when victory comes, when you see that victory, give testimony to it.
Amen.
Don't keep it quiet, because when you give testimony that God has wrought a victory for you in your life, it builds others up and say, wow, oh yes, come on. Because my victory is just around the corner.
Amen.
My victory is on its way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at the person next to you and say, my victory is on its way. Come on. My victory is on its way. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You know, today God's wisdom, it makes an absolute mockery of the world's wisdom. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, come on, walk on the water. Don't be stupid. Anybody know? I mean, he's a fisherman. He sailed boats from this eye. He knows. His natural wisdom says, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
And the rest of them say, don't be stupid, Peter. Stick in this boat, mate. Stick with us. Mm-mm-mm-mm. It's called stepping out. Go faith. Oh, hallelujah. The storm may rage, but faith arises. Faith arises. And we walk on that faith. We stand on the promises. We stand on the promise of the Word of God, and we operate in that Word of God. And we're not moved by what we see. We're only moved by the Word of God. That's where the church should be. And COVID-19, when it comes near, you say, in the name of Jesus, I set people free from it, and I destroy you. I take the power out of you in Jesus' name. Oh, you can't do that. Why not? What did Jesus do to the leper?
Healed him.
Even touch them. You're not supposed to. You've got to go in quarantine if you touch lepers. Do you know that? You're quarantined. Did Jesus go into quarantine? No, he moved amongst them. No deadly thing can harm us. And I know we've all at times have lost people through sickness and disease, and I don't have the explanation, but all I can say is I'm not changing what I believe. I'm not changing the walk that I'm walking, because we're going forward into the victory in Christ. We're moving forward into, we're being perfected in our faith, right? We're getting stronger in our faith as we draw closer to Him. As the ages come to the end of their being, and the coming of Christ in His fullness comes, when all will be perfect again.
Yeah.
When it will be like the Garden of Eden, when everything was good.
Amen.
When there was nothing evil. God is moving us towards that. But the church has to be made ready.
Amen.
For the return, for the coming, and for the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for they did not understand it. Because if they had have understood it, so that they would not have crucified Jesus. You see, now when, let me just grab my Bible and think, sorry. When it says here, the rulers of this age, it is not talking about people like Caesar. It's not talking about Herod. It's talking about the demonic forces that seek to rule this world.
Yeah.
And he says, so what is he saying? So the wisdom which none of these wicked, let's do it this way, wicked spirituals of that time, of the devil, none of them understood. Because if they'd understood that by crucifying Jesus they were going to lose, hands down, they were actually going to fall into their own traps. Hallelujah. You see, he can set as many traps as he wants, but the problem is he can't remember where he set the traps. And you know what happens then, don't you? He falls in his own trap. Because see, God knows exactly where the devil set the traps. And if we listen, God says, move to the left. Don't go that way. Avoid that. Come away from that. But the devil can't remember where he set his traps. He's just going around thinking, oh, I've got him. I've got him. I've got him. I've got him. I've beaten him. We've got him on the cross. We've nailed him to the cross. We've beaten him. We've set with 40 lashes. We've got him. We've got him. Oh, 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 oh. He's fallen into his first trap.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened? Hell hath no fury like its own. Hallelujah. Fallen into his own trap. The third day he thinks, we've got him. 3 days we've had him prisoner and he's not made a move. We've got him, we've done it. At last, he's all mine. And then suddenly he hears a voice calling, Jesus! Jesus! And hell begins to shake.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Out of that, whoa, I know that voice. Yeah. Remember this, the devil knows the voice of God.
Yeah.
Come on, he'd been there.
Yeah.
And when he heard that voice calling his son Jesus out, he's like, no, no, no. Terror struck at hell. Terror struck at the demons. They trembled at the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hell itself began to shake and break.
Yes.
The prison doors were burst open through the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Captives were set free. The graves were opened.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Dead people arose and testified. Wow. Come on, Pete, don't get excited. Whatever you do, I'll do it for you. Glory to God. I'll run around the church for you if you want, you know. Glory to God. Hell has been shook to its very foundations. Heaven is coming down. Heaven is coming down. The power of the Almighty God striking vengeance on the demonic forces. And today, people of God, today, do not stop striking. Continue to strike at the enemy and bring him down. Every time he raises his head, smack him again.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Use the word of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But you know, verse 10, it says, for to us, God revealed.
Yes.
Oh, you see, God is not keeping secrets. He's not, oh, I'm sorry, David, I can't tell you. It's a secret. There's only one secret that God has kept to himself. And that's the day when Jesus is going to return. God has only got one secret. Everything else is an open book. Okay? Just get that, you know, God is not keeping anything back from him. If you want it, if you walk towards it, if you do the right thing, God will cause you to see it. Do you believe it? It's not holding out on you. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 10, so for us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Hallelujah. You see, God is Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into our lives. But as I said earlier, get on the right channel. Get on the right channel. Hear the voice of the Spirit whispering to you mysteries from the throne room of God. Get on the right channel. And if you're not hearing it clearly, then spend some time talking and praying and listening, saying, Lord, open my spiritual ears to hear you. You know, we spoke the other week in Bible study where Elisha said, open his eyes. And what he really was saying was, open his spiritual eyes, that he might see that greater are those who are for us than those who are against us, and that we are surrounded firstly by God and his mighty angels, and the enemy is trying to break through. He's not already through, he's trying to break through. Because we are surrounded, we are protected, we are covered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am covered.
Amen.
I am covered.
I am covered. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Say it. I am covered. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Whoa. I had no idea what I was preaching on this morning. True, isn't it? I was clueless. I might still be clueless. Who knows? Glory to Jesus. Verse 11 says, For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man who is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God are not known except the Spirit of God. What is he saying? He's saying, well, guess what? Today, right now, I don't know what David's thinking. I might have an idea. Only David's human spirit knows what David's thinking. You don't. And the only way we'll know, lest the Spirit of God were to reveal it. It's blank. And the past is gone and done away with. And the only way that you and I can hear what God is saying and what God is thinking is when our spirit, born again, tuned in to the Spirit of God, then we know the voice, we know the speech, we know the thoughts of God. Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. God is saying that I have thoughts that you've never even thought of. I've got ways that you've never even imagined to do things to bring victory. You know, we sometimes think, oh, if we do this, this and this, that'll happen. And God says, well, there's an easier way than that. God does it. Sets it. You and I have got to learn to trust God and learn to become tuned to the things of the Spirit and not let the things of this world bombard us, beat us down,
Amen.
Trap us, punch us into a corner. Our thoughts will block us into a corner if we're not careful. Our thoughts will limit God moving in our lives. Because we are listening to the human spirit and we're not listening to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
We've got wrong communications. We're on the wrong channel.
Yes.
God wants us to be tuned to Him.
Yes.
To know Him. Whom to know is life.
Yes.
Eternal. Hallelujah. We're to know Him. To know His blessings in our lives. To know His purposes for our lives. To know exactly what He wants us to be doing. What He wants us to be saying. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. The spirit of this world is fear, condemnation, neglect, abandonment, destruction. But God says, Paul says, but now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. The freely given. The price has been paid. There's no till at the end of the aisle. When we've gone shopping in God, there is no till at the end. It's free.
Hey, praise God.
The Bible says, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Hallelujah. He's called us to freedom. He's called us to be the blessings to the people around us. He's called us to cause people around us to ask questions of us, because there is something that is in each and every one of us that is glowing, that is flowing, that is life changing, that it gives life.
Amen.
There is a well. Well, there should be. There's a well springing up. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Hallelujah. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Hallelujah. Come on, glory to God. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, if somebody tries to put a lid on it, it gets to a point where there's so much pressure.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much pressure. Blows it off, and you know when that spirit is bubbling, there's no rubbish. It's all cleared away. It's fresh, pure, flowing spiritual word of God. It is bubbling, it is bubbling, it is bubbling in my soul. Hallelujah. I'm on fire and the devil's a liar. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What verse did we get to? I don't know, because I'm not using my notes. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Oh, hallelujah. Get rid of your stinking thinking. Get rid of your stinking thinking. Let the fella in the cellar, the Spirit of God, let him flow out of you and bring the thoughts of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and God Almighty and set captives free. So that our words are spiritual words, our thoughts are spiritual thoughts that have come directly, hallelujah, from the throne room of God. You see, the throne room of God ministers through here. Hallelujah. The Spirit resides within us. The throne room. Hallelujah. Of God. It's like, you know, sometimes when the Spirit gives me a word for somebody and then later say, what was that he said to me? No idea. It didn't come from here, it came from here. Glory to God. It came out of the throne room. It didn't come out of this throne and throne of man. It came out of the throne of God. And that's why so often when we have words given, I'd like you to come to the microphones so that it's recorded. And you guys make sure it's recorded, because if not, I'll have you afterwards. Hallelujah. We can always erase it. We can't replace it if it's not there. Praise God. God wants, you know, when God speaks, we need to listen. And sometimes, you know, we need to hear it more than once. John Wesley said, you know, he was preaching the gospel in one place and he preached the same message six nights, and the elder said to him, when are you going to preach a different message? He says, when you become born again. They tell me you can preach a message 15 times and then you'll start to remember it. Only need 4 or 5 messages down and we've cracked it. We just keep preaching the same ones over and over and over again. Just reminding me of that chorus, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and 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 over again. songs have meaning. These songs tell the passion of the heart and the Word of God. Not like some of the garbage we get these days from the new ones, just roll the bounce and whatever. Not I'm against it, but you know. If they're speaking rubbish, I don't want to listen to it. You know, garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. You know, if it comes in through ears and it's garbage, it'll end up coming out as garbage. If it comes in through the eyes and it's garbage, it'll end up coming out as garbage through the mouth. Think about it a minute. Think about what we watch. Think about what we see, listen to. Don't waste your time on it. Don't waste your time. Get hold of the things of the Spirit of God. Get hold of the things of God. And that let your word, that the words of the of your mouth, the meditation of your heart, be acceptable before the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Now verse 14 says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. We know that. I've had it said to me, oh, you don't believe those foolish things, do you? All those foolish notions? Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, but scientist says this. I don't care what a scientist says, because I tell you what, every now and again they change their mind, because they suddenly discover they were wrong, but they don't say, oh, excuse me, we were wrong. There's never an apology. They just bring another theory in, you see, and well, we think this is it now. They only think. I know.
Yeah.
I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise His wonderful name. Oh, hallelujah. Well, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritual. They're spiritual. You have... I better go into this one, yeah. We'll go to this one. We'll read through and then I'm going to come back just to this. Verse 15, it says, but he who is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. Men don't judge us. Only God. Only God will judge us. We, as the body of Christ, are taught to discern. It doesn't say judge. It says discern. And then we act on the discernment that God gives to us, which is different. We're not here to judge, but we're to discern of what spirit things are of, and we are to take that appropriate spiritual action against those wicked spirituals. Verse 16 says, For who has known the mind of the Lord? That he should instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Whose mind have you got today, Louise? The Christ. You've got the mind of Christ. The enemy cannot touch it. The enemy cannot bombard it. You have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I have. Amen. Praise God. He whom the Son sets free. Come on, he's free indeed. Come on. You've got to speak out this freedom. You've got to walk in this freedom. You've got to declare this freedom. Because the enemy's trying to tell you, you're not free, you're not free, you're not free. Well, guess what? I am free, I am free, I am free. Because Jesus said, He set me free. Hallelujah. Chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able to, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? Wow, what a statement. What is he saying there? What is Paul saying? Paul is basically turning around and saying, look, you've come to Christ. And when we come to Christ, we're all babes. And we start feeding on the milk of the Word. But there comes a point when the baby has to grow up. When the baby has to go on solids, on meat, something to chew on. That's why we spend a lot of time on the Word. We give meat to chew on. Because it's important. Because it is meat that will cause you to be strong. Yeah. It is meat of the Word that will cause you to grow spiritually. Yeah. That will cause you to stand in the midst of adversities. That will cause you to stand in the midst of a trial and a circumstance situation. Because you're standing on the promises and on the meat and the power of a solid Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, it is. It's a living, powerful, breathing Word that changes the dynamics around you. And so Paul is saying, you came to Christ, but some of you have gone no further than being babies. That's sad, because God told me, he said, Andrew, the church that you have, you are not into changing diapers. Right? We're not into changing diapers. We're not into giving bottles out. So you can give out your own bottle to your baby when it comes, and don't bring your baby to me to change the diaper. Okay? Bless the Lord. You hear that? It's meat. Because God is calling for a strong body, a strong group of believers that will stand for the Word and stand for the testimony of the Lord Jesus, that will stand on signs, wonders and miracles, that will declare the works of the Lord, and we shall see the works of the Lord being done in this age today, the very present time. And so you see, we're in this situation, Paul is speaking. There are three categories of spirituality. Are you ready? There's the natural man. The man who is dead in trespasses and sins. That was you and I before we came to Christ. Before Christ came into our lives, we were dead. We were the natural man, dead in trespasses and sins. We were enjoying living in the devil's camp. Well, we weren't really enjoying it, but that's all we knew. And we thought that was great. And he put up flashing lights and loud noise for us and entertained our soulish man. And we thought that's all we needed. Why? Because our spiritual man was dead. We knew nothing better. But when Jesus came and he died and rose on that third day, he then came to that point where he could now make us alive. He could now make our spiritual man come to life within us. Born again. Born again of the Spirit of God. To begin anew. Hallelujah. You know, you might have had a journey that was a rotten journey in the natural man. But when you come to Christ, he says, the old has gone. The new has come. Glory to God. And it is in Christ Jesus, the spiritual man. And so there is this spiritual man that is born of the Spirit of God, made anew, possessing spiritual maturity, living free from strife, living by doing the right things according to God's word. Trouble is, the unbelievers find it difficult to understand the way that you and I live. How can you be at peace in all this strife and this turmoil and this fear? How is it you're so peaceful? Because I'm married to the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm married to Him. He is mine and I am His. Hallelujah. And His banner over me. It's there again. Love. His banner over me is love. See, we can live in peace. Because all the time, His wings around about us. We're protected by spiritual beings. Standing side by side, shoulder by shoulder, to protect us, to cover us, because the blood is upon us. Hallelujah. Thirdly, there's the carnal man. What's the carnal man? The carnal man is simply this: a man that has been born again, a woman that has been born again, but they're not living the fullness of the life. They are believers, but they have childish ways. He says, you've got jealousy in the midst of you. You've got strife. You're immature. You're leaning more to your human understanding than you are to the realm of the Spirit. And so really, Paul speaks of the natural, which we understand. He speaks of the spiritual. And then he speaks of this carnal man. Somebody who's experienced that spiritual experience, but to be honest, has grown no further and is still in diapers, still in their nappies, still wanting milk, and is not prepared to go any further. The mind has never been renewed. You see, God wants you to know Him whom to know is life eternal. And this carnal man, he's trying to hold on to both sides. There's this thing of, oh, I want to keep this thing in the world, but I want this, I want that of God. And you're being torn apart. You have to let go of the things of the world to get the things of God in its fullness and its blessings. You have to turn your back on the world and its ways. And you have to go 100% for Jesus. So that when people see you, the conversation that comes out of you, they say, wow, that's dynamic. That sounds like Jesus. They don't want to hear the things of the world. You see, believe it or not, the world knows that its speech is not right. And I'll give you an instance. I'm training a guy to ride his motorcycle in an advanced way. And he said, we're out for the second time. Last week, he said something, and then he sort of said, oh, sorry about that. I won't say what he said. To be honest, I can't remember. You know, I've got an in and an out. And it went in and it went out. It didn't get lodged. And this week he said something and said, oh, I'm sorry about that. See, they know. They know. They know their speech is not right. But they won't make that step. They won't take enough courage. They've yet to be convicted enough. But what have we been? Jesus made a statement, I am the light of the world. Word of God tells us, Jesus, do not hide your lamp under a bushel. Put it on a candlestick. Let everybody see it. Let everybody see it. And I don't care if it's lit, burning. Let's keep it trimmed. Let's keep it glowing bright. Let's keep the power flowing. Let's keep the oil of the anointing flowing. And let's see lives for Christ change coming in.